Welcome to the With Counseling Podcast. I'm JJ Blanford, founder and therapist at With Counseling. On today's episode, we are going to talk about why it's important to set boundaries.
Yeah, and I guess we talk a lot about boundaries in sort of this mental health world and everything, and I don't always maybe know what we're even talking about sometimes. I feel like it's one of those words you kind of throw around, but like, I don't know that it's always clear what that actually means. So maybe like a good like starting point would be like, what do most mental health professionals mean when they talk about setting boundaries?
Boundaries. So when I think about doing work around boundary setting, what I mean is what kind of parameters, guidelines, rules, whatever you want to call them, need to be in place in a relationship, prepping for an event or social gathering, so that you are going to show up in a way that feels comfortable to you. That your needs, your desires, kind of what you need as a human is honored, oftentimes in a social interaction, like setting, or in a family relationship setting.
Yeah. I think part of what is prompting this for me to ask you is that I'm realizing maybe there's been times in the past that I haven't had the best boundaries, and you don't really know that until you experience boundaries. And something precipitated the other day where there was an event I was supposed to go to. I couldn't do it. I had had a horrible week. It was really hard. And I said, hey, to somebody that I had sort of previously soft committed to. And I said, I've had a hard week. I just can't make it. And I felt really bad about saying this thing. And the person responded and said, way to set healthy boundaries for yourself. I'm really proud of you. And I think it took me aback. And I was sort of like, I don't know that anybody has ever honored my boundaries in that way. I feel like most of the time when I send that text or whatever, it's like people making fun of me and like, oh, why aren't you here? We're having the best, you know what I mean? It's like there's like relational repercussions that come from that.
For sure.
And I don't know that I've ever experienced it in such a explicitly healthy way. Does that make sense?
Yes, okay. It does make sense. Okay. And I think that's because we don't know how to set boundaries as people.
Okay. That's in general.
That is like
a lot of people don't know how to set boundaries.
That is my belief based on the work that I do. Okay. Do I have statistics to back it up? Who knows?
It's anecdotal.
It is anecdotal. Okay. And I have been a therapist for long enough that I feel like a lot of my anecdotal stuff holds some weight.
Yeah.
I think boundaries are hard to set because oftentimes we are setting a boundary in a relationship and we're realizing we need to set a boundary because what has been happening in a relationship is no longer working for us.
Okay.
So often this goes back to family of origin stuff with clients. Yep. Also like marriage work, you know, there's a lot of different places boundaries can show up.
Sure.
I just think, like, as a child who is now an adult, most people kind of have a period of time where they're thinking, how do I want to show up to these relationships?
Right.
I also want to be clear, again, my belief is that our boundaries can change because our capacity is changing.
Okay.
Where we're at, what we have the ability to handle is not like stagnant.
Yeah.
And so I think that's also what makes boundary work really tricky is, you know, sometimes I will work with someone who has to step back from their family of origin for a period of time to grow in their own health, to feel comfortable in, I have the ability, I have the language, I have the skill to set a boundary. Then they can return sometimes to that family of origin and they feel more comfortable even though they're the only person who's changed because they've said, this is what I will tolerate. This is what is acceptable to me.
Sure.
Sometimes you have a family that, you know, multiple people are kind of on a journey of health. And so maybe you and a sibling or you and a parent are kind of having, doing your own work, having some of these conversations together. Sometimes it's, you know, having to set a boundary of, on Christmas, I know we used to always come here all day on Christmas Day. For my family and what we need, we're only going to be here for Christmas for 3 hours, and then we have another obligation.
Right.
So again, you may have to, you know, I work with people who have had to choose to miss a holiday or a family gathering because they weren't ready and didn't feel they weren't confident that people would respect the boundary that they had. And so they needed some time to kind of work on that boundary, do their own work, so that they could say, like, this is what I'm going to do. Is that acceptable to you or not?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think even in this conversation that we're having, like, all that makes perfect sense. And I guess for so long, I have not set boundaries for myself because I'm afraid people are going to be mad at me and it's going to lead to a relational break. I mean, that's a very common thing, isn't it? For, like, why we don't set good boundaries.
Yes. Or we don't trust our own voice, mm-hmm. right? We may have a narrative personally in our family, in a partnership, that our voice doesn't matter. And so it's really hard if that is, you know, the narrative you have believed for 40 years. And then you go to therapy and your therapist is like, your voice does matter. Let's set boundaries. You're like, what in the world are you talking about? And so oftentimes, I think people end up creating some distance initially because the thought of setting this teeny tiny little boundary feels overwhelming, feels unnatural. There's fear of response. And I think people continue to do this boundary work because so often how someone else responds to your boundary often affirms it. Right?
Yeah.
So if I've set a boundary and I say, Curry, I'm only coming to Christmas for 3 hours. And you're like, why would you do that? You're not welcome here. What you don't realize is you're affirming to me, oh, that is really smart that you have boundaries in this situation. I'm not going to respect your boundary, which is probably why I started having boundaries to begin with.
Okay.
And so sometimes, right, it's either people are going to respect the boundary or they're not. And that's going to teach you about the relationship, right? If you are setting boundaries in friendship, relationship, and you get that understanding of, like, of course you can't make it this weekend. Totally get it. It's like, oh, this is someone who's going to respect the boundaries that I set.
Yeah.
If someone pushes back, it's further affirmation of, oh, this is the whole reason that I'm setting boundaries in this relationship. They're not respecting my wishes. How I feel in this scenario isn't valued. And I think boundary work is so important because once we start setting boundaries, it just affirms and then helps us continue to set those boundaries moving forward. Does that make sense?
No, that totally does make sense. And if somebody's not honoring your boundaries, it's like, okay, we need to probably put up more boundaries here. You know, this isn't somebody that I really want that much relationship with if they can't respect the boundaries that I've given them.
Yes. Right?
This isn't a reciprocal relationship.
Yes. And I think, right, we're talking about these huge, like, family of origin and marriage, like, which of course are very significant,
right.
But boundaries show up in so many places. For instance, the first time when I think about boundary setting, what I think about is when we had our first child, someone brought us dinner, our child was asleep, and the person who brought dinner said, well, I wanted to see the baby.
Yeah.
I say, the baby is asleep. And this person says, well, please go wake her up. I'd like to meet her. And so I was a tired, frazzled new mom. And so I went and woke up my sleeping baby so that someone else could see her.
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments that after it was over, I thought, okay, how am I going to show up to people's house when they have a baby? Not like that.
Right.
And also, the next time someone shows up at my house and says, please go wake your baby, I will say no. And if that is offensive to you and you take the dinner away that you just brought to my house, yeah. I will order pizza and I will be okay. Yeah. And for me, that was this distinct moment where I thought, this person isn't thinking about my boundary, what I need, what my family needs. They're putting their own needs over mine. And that is not okay. Yeah. And so it feels like such a silly example. And yet I feel like that explains what I mean about boundary setting. Yeah. You know, so often I meet with clients and the belief is, you know, well, how do I know if I'm setting the right boundary? Sometimes we don't know we need to set a boundary until someone has like jumped over and violated it, that it's like, huh, that did not feel good. I don't want that to happen again.
Yeah.
What do I need to do to protect myself from being in that situation again?
Yeah.
And again, caveat to like the level we can control and all the things.
Sure.
But I do think sometimes we don't even realize that we need to set boundaries until we are like leaving a conversation or an interaction and you're like, ugh, that felt terrible. I don't want to feel that way again. How do I need to show up in a different way?
That makes sense. I feel like even as we're talking, I'm just reminded that like, I guess a lot of what I always thought about sort of life, and maybe this leads to my like own relational ignorance, is that other people would set boundaries for me, you know, and that anything sort of somebody was asked in good faith, and that I should accommodate whatever they want because of my own people pleasing nature or something, you know? And I feel like maybe enough people aren't taught, and maybe it goes back to voice, that maybe enough people aren't taught that their voice matters and that like their capacity matters, you know? And I feel like even, and I'll speak to it as a man in our society, is like, you know, work hard, you know, provide for your family. And there's not a lot of like, and set healthy emotional boundaries. You know what I mean? It's like, work hard. And if you're not working hard, then work harder. And if you're not providing, you need to work harder. And that means showing up to all the things and doing all of the stuff. And as we, our parenting gets even more like helicoptery, you know, not only are you showing up to work, but you're showing up for your kids. And, you know, I just feel like we've gotten into this place where like, maybe boundaries are obliterated in some ways because there's so much placed on us. Does that, I don't even know if I asked a question. I just said a bunch of stuff.
I think that's so true because I think work is another place that I do work with clients around boundary setting, right? Yeah. You may have the most awesome sauce boss who is protecting your mental and emotional health. I work in the helping profession. And I have had fewer of those than I should.
Sure.
And yet we show up to work thinking, I bet they have my best interest at heart.
Right.
Even though if we took a minute to think about that, maybe your boss does, but your corporation is probably not making choices thinking about how is this going to impact, you know, Curry.
Yeah.
How will his mental and emotional health be?
Right.
What will his work-life balance be like on a policy change? Right.
For sure.
And so I think sometimes we do have to kind of take control and set a boundary of, you know, oh, I'm not actually going to work on Saturday.
Right.
If the job I was hired for is 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Right.
Yes, there are always caveats and exceptions. And again, at work, if you go above and beyond and work outside your hours and do special projects and don't ask for compensation, you are teaching people how to interact with you. Yeah. You are teaching someone that, oh, I'm just keep using you because you're sitting here
with
me.
I'm right here. It makes sense. Yeah.
But this like, oh, do I think companies think, oh, I could abuse Curry? No. Oh,
right.
Are they thinking he'll do whatever we ask? Yes. And so sometimes we have to set the boundary of this is how I will be cared for in this role. I was talking to a client this week who is learning to use their own paid time off.
Yeah.
No one in their department at their job uses their paid time off.
Gosh.
Well, and I know this is a shared culture. And it's a shared soapbox.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my client is learning how to set a boundary for themselves by saying, I need time off.
Yeah.
I need a day to deal with my own life. And no one else around me is doing that. How I'm setting a healthy boundary is using the time off that has been given to me by this place of employment.
Right.
And so, again, that is another place. I think so often we hear boundary setting and it's like, how do I deal with this toxic family member? Which, yes, is true.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
No doubt.
Is a place to use boundaries. And there are so many places in our lives. Again, talking about kids, how many emails do we get that there is a luncheon, a fundraiser, a...
I'm getting shaky. You're triggering me here.
You know, we need volunteers. Oh, and gosh. So we set boundaries on how we do that, how we show up. I know what my capacity is. Let me just tell you, here's my boundary tip. When the email comes out of... we need food and things for teacher luncheon. I am on it so quick. I'm going to bring anything that I don't have to cook. Yeah. I love cooking. I'm a really good cook. And the thought of like cooking something, having to transport it to the school.
Transporting cooking is like...
is hard.
Not your thing. Like it's the opposite
it
of your
100,
thing.
It is 100. It stresses.
You cook anything and eat something at the house. But transporting something is just like way
next
too much
level.
For you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and because at the school, then I have to go back and pick up the thing that I dropped the prepared food off.
No doubt.
So for me, boundary. And I feel very generous in my support of the school and is all stuff I can order from Costco.
Yeah.
And I just drop it off after I drop another kid off at the school next door. And so it's still the, I want to participate. I love and appreciate our school, our kids' teachers. And making soup for the teacher luncheon is never going to be my jam.
Yeah.
And so I also know I'm not the only person. So I have to get those things that I can buy before someone else gets them.
Yeah. Right.
And so it does take some planning. Yeah. But I think it's looking at what do I have? You used the word capacity earlier in our conversation. Mm-hmm. Again, that changes. Sometimes that school email comes out. I'm like, I don't have the capacity to plan for in 6 weeks where we might be.
Yeah.
Here's a gift card to buy whatever you need. Or I'm going to sit this one out. I participated in all the teacher luncheons this year. I'm setting a boundary by I don't have the capacity. Our family doesn't have the bandwidth to do, you know, another event. And so this boundary work is happening all the time. Can I just keep?
Yeah.
Okay. Other thing that I think is really important is these are things that we need to be teaching our kids.
Yeah.
How are they feeling comfortable in a space? How is their voice being honored? I feel like there is so much conversation right now around just maybe it's my corner of the internet. I don't always know if the whole world is having these conversations or just all the mental health people that I follow. But this idea of, you know, you're at a family function, a social function, and someone walks up to your child and asks for a hug. We have two kids who are probably always going to hug and one that's going to awkwardly stand there. I'm always really impressed when someone asks that child,
right,
hug or a fist bump, and they engage in the behavior that feels most comfortable to them. And right, like I think people that you're around all the time and all the things, it's fine for your kids to hug people,
right?
And I think sometimes we notice our kids feeling uncomfortable. Why in the world are we like, well, you have to
you're obligated to hug that aunt that you haven't ever met?
Yes.
Right.
Or, you know, when
this is a stranger.
Yes. Or, you know, you're at this event that someone feels they know your child because they've heard you talk about them,
right,
not thinking my child has no, literally no idea who you are. And so I think anytime we can give our kids opportunity to set boundaries, to think about what feels good to them and for them, these are life skills we're teaching our kids. And they can be so simple. Like, our kids will be asked sometimes to volunteer.
Yeah.
I never give a yes until I've asked my child, because I want them to know you have the choice to say, do I want to volunteer this week? Right. Do I have the capacity? We have a child who will say, I need to think about that. I'm not sure what I want to do.
Right.
And I appreciate that because they are learning to use their voice. And my hope is that we are creating an environment as parents that they're learning their voice matters. And so even the simple choice of, you know, do you want to keep doing this activity? And it's, you know, do you want to volunteer? Do you want to go to this birthday party? It is such a small, small thing to ask. And it's telling our kids they have voice.
Yeah, that's good. That's really helpful. People are not talking about that on my corner of the internet, just so you're aware. I think we probably have different corners of the internet. But, you know, just bringing that up is good, because I assume other people aren't in their corner of the internet talking about that.
Well,
yeah.
The mental health world is its only its own wild corner of the internet.
You bring that to us, so we don't have to jump into that. One final question. I know this podcast is going a little bit long, but I'm a little fascinated. And something I think is maybe it's hard to grasp in this whole boundary setting, if you're new to boundary setting, right? Okay, so let's go back to my instance when I didn't show up to that thing, right? And I didn't, because I didn't feel like I had capacity. But sometimes it's hard to determine whether me setting that boundary is because I really need that, or maybe like going to that thing would actually be good for me and I probably should just go. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe I'm a little down, haven't been out in a while. I should go out with friends, but I'm just not feeling it. So how do you distinguish between like what you act, your own needs, and maybe what, you know, these outside influences, like, you know, that probably would have actually been good for me. Does that question?
Totally makes sense. And as I told a client earlier this week, if I had a crystal ball, I would be doing different work.
Sure. Okay.
So, I mean, I think part of that is self-compassion. It's the knowing of, you may not know until afterwards and everyone posts all the pictures and you think, gosh, I wish I would have been there.
Sure.
I need to remember this the next time I'm invited to something like that. I also think there are also times, you know, right? Like, for this particular instance, you knew that that was not going to be the best for you.
And I was waffling at the same time, though. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like, yeah, there was a waffling.
There was a waffling. And as we kind of explored the waffling more, it was people pleasing.
It was more of an obligation, or feeling obligated.
Yes, right. Not an actual desire. And so again, sometimes I think it's curiosity of like, I'm waffling, what's that about? Is it, this probably would be, like, as an introvert, I am very aware that sometimes I just have to go out when I don't want to, because I'm pretty content being by myself.
Your default is solo, right?
And reading, yes. And so to me, it's very different because you're an extrovert.
Yeah.
When you're waffling, it is a very different conversation, curiosity, exploration about what is that about. And so I think we have to be curious about where we're at and like, what is the actual motivation? Because I think sometimes we'll name it as something, and when we sit with that, we're like, that's not really what it is.
Yeah.
But that's what feels, it's way harder to say, I'm struggling with people pleasing and I want these people to like me, and showing up to that event would help them like me and make them feel good, versus what do I actually have the capacity for? And my job is not to make those people feel good. My job my job is to make sure that my emotional and mental needs are met.
Yeah.
And so saying a no is honoring of what you actually need.
Yeah. I think as two people pleasers, maybe in even our content probably drifts along that, you know, parallel where it's like, you know, maybe other people don't struggle with people pleasing in the same way, but, you know, it becomes very apparent in conversations like this.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. So, I think we crushed it.
As always.
Yeah.
As we do.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode as we explored what it looks like to set healthy boundaries. I'd love to know what boundaries you're inspired to create. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at CounselingWith, or you can shoot me an email from my website, counselingwith.com.